You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Hi, this is Jeremy Bullock, Boba Fett, and you're listening to Weeby Geeks.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbine
speed. Mission commencing.
My name is Optimus Prime.
All wings, check in.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red Button standing by.
Red Fox standing by.
Big Red standing by.
Red October standing by.
Helen Reddy standing by.
Simply Red standing by.
So, the bad crowd you've been hanging out with is a science fiction club?
Meanwhile, back at the above-ground, underwater, suborbital volcano lair.
It is episode 73.
Wow.
Two more and we're at that three-quarter mark.
Is that when we get the special magical shiny cover?
Possibly.
Yeah? Or is it going to be a 3D cover because we're like a DC thing?
No, because if you leave it out in the heat, it'll melt.
Oh, that's true. Well, so. That is us. You know, I don't know if people have seen us, but we're a little pasty and melty-like.
Yeah, I sweat like butter.
Exactly.
Or maybe
exactly.
I sweat butter. I don't know. Anyhow, you are listening to McFly and the Ogre in the morning. Wait, that's our morning
depending
show.
Depending on Chuckle listings.
You're listening to Mike and Marty on Weeby Geeks, which if you want to help out the show, check out the Amazon banner on the homepage and buy your stuff click through there before you go buy anything off Amazon. Or check out Rick's Comic City. What is it? Weeby Geeks gets you free shipping.
Yeah, coupon code Weeby Geeks gets you free shipping and help out the site as well.
Or if you're looking for those toys or collectibles, check out Nerd Rage Toys. Send those guys some business as well. There's some great folks there. But we got a great show for you this week. Got a great guest. We're going to keep it a little under wraps until here in a little bit. We start our new segment. That will be an ongoing segment, except for those weeks that we burn a show because one of us is going on vacation.
Yeah. How is that? You feel all rested now?
I do. And my sister-in-law found some of the greatest things for me before I got there. We'll start off. I'll show you. I know this is really great radio, me showing you on camera, but.
Ah, you got a nice little Star Wars toy there.
It's the Kenner Vintage Bosque.
Is that the original one or is that the recreated one?
That's the original Kenner one.
Nice.
Now, it gets even
Bosque
better.
Bosque the Bounty Hunter.
It's even better.
Oh, yeah? The Bosque with no pants? Is that the one? Oh, it's the R2-D2 with the firing missile on the top, right?
Yeah, that's the American version was the sensor scope.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
Sticker body.
Sticker body, yep.
And you take a look. Sticker's in pretty decent shape.
Yeah, held up all right. Must not have gotten into too many bathtubs.
Oh, my. I think I had like two or three, and one was bathtub purpose only.
Exactly.
Because it's like, oh, I already ruined this one. But now we're going to do a Dark Horse segment, yes. Given our Dark Horse pick of the week. And, you know, I kind of got this one. I figured I would kick it off this week. So, we don't have music for it yet. We're working on some stuff music wise to intro this segment, but I could do, oh, where did it go? As we know, till at least October, I think October is when Dark Horse wraps it up after 20 plus years doing Star
Wars. August. I think it's even August. I think it's even earlier than that, somewhere in there where they said that they'll have, the two remaining series that they would have left would be the Star Wars by Brian Wood, that series going. And then there's,
the Darth Maul series.
Yes, Darth Maul. That was the other one. And I think there was those last issues are both solicited for August. And I guess they got some trades.
They got some trades coming out.
Trades coming out after that
through October.
Yeah.
Well, my pick my Dark Horse pick for New Comic Book Day May 28th is obviously by the music, Star Wars.
What I mean, even the toys that you just showed me on the Skype video here, that was just all segue. You master planner, you.
It was a segue. The book I picked was Star Wars Rebel Heist number 2.
Cool.
It's the second of the 4-part series.
This is the one featuring Han Solo, right?
No, that was issue 1.
That was issue 1. Okay, so they're changing it up every issue.
Every issue is different. Now, did you read issue 1?
I did not.
Issue 1, well, I guess to backtrack, and you can always go back and get it as your back issue pick from Dark Horse. Issue 1 starts off with they're hunting down the secret code. Issue 1 starts off with this rebel who kind of sticks out like a sore thumb on Corella looking for his rebel contact, which happens to be Han Solo. And they go on a little adventure in the book. And then it progresses to the next, kind of flushes this person out of hiding to the next book. Well, the next book is Princess Leia. And she kind of goes undercover a little bit. I'm trying not to spoil the book because I want people to read it. It's a really good read. It's a little bit of a spy ring. A little bit of a twist on what this code is.
Is it like a secret decoder ring code?
They
gotta eat like 14 boxes of Lucky Charms to figure out what the code means.
It is a secret, but that's not it. But she employs a Twi'lek that happens to be a red Twi'lek, which we'll come find out is a rare skin color for the Twi'leks. They're the like Bib Fortuna.
Oh, okay, yeah. Took me a second. I couldn't picture it.
I can't. I know there was a Twi'lek.
That's the one that did the dance too in Jabba's
house. Yeah.
Green one.
Ula. Yeah.
Ula. That was it.
Ula. I know there was a Twi'lek Jedi, but I can't remember who she is. She's involved kind of like cover fire with this cool little sniper rifle that Leia gives her. Interesting book. Definitely something I would say for a 4-part series, especially with Dark Horse wrapping up, Star Wars before it goes to Marvel, which was also talked about. Marvel could be starting Star Wars a little sooner, supposedly by July, right before Comic-Con, they're going to announce at least the first 2 titles, which...
That'll be a long time without Star Wars, won't it? I mean, like, you know, if Dark Horse's all their new stuff wraps up in August, and then you go almost to the, almost a full year, you go to July until Marvel comes out with stuff.
Well, no, they're announced this July.
Oh, this July. Oh, okay.
Right before Comic-Con 2014, their 2 titles are going to be. And of course, as we know, Nelson, who we had on a couple of weeks ago, has already put in his bid. He wants to at least pencil ink or possibly do covers. So,
no matter what.
He goes, I just want to be on it.
Yeah.
So Star Wars Heist number 2 featuring Princess Leia. Each one of the 4 issues is going to involve the adventures with another predominant rebel figure. I think the lineup has already been announced how they're going to go. If not, this might be a slight spoiler. But issue 1 was Han Solo. Issue 2 is Princess Leia. Issue 3 is Chewbacca. And then it wraps with Luke Skywalker. So.
Get all four of the main ones in there.
Get all 4 of them in and see how they all intertwine different missions, sort of.
Revolving around or how, a similar connection.
Yeah, or how they're intertwined, how one passes off to the next, to the next, to the next. So, yeah.
That'll be out on store shelves on the 28th.
On the 28th. Yep.
Excellent.
So, until then, we know Agent Carter. I'll segue in again. Agent Carter's coming out in January of 2015.
Yeah, like all the TV up front, like since, our last time that we actually talked, it seems like we've got, on the Facebook page, about all we've been posting is like, trailers to different TV shows or new releases about new TV shows, movies. I mean, it seems like it's crazy with the amount of multimedia stuff coming out in the world of nerddom.
I'm glad you said trailer. I know. I just started talking about Agent Carter, but the trailer for that extended look at The Flash.
Right.
Oh, Lord.
Are you sold already?
Yeah, I'm sold.
All 5 minutes. The Flash is so good, he can sell you a show in 5 minutes.
He's fast.
That's how fast he is.
Actually, he had me sold quicker than that.
You like the other one that they showed during Arrow, right? 1 minute, maybe, I think they had.
That was okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. And, of course, the classic line, show off. That was cute. But the extended trailer that we put up on Facebook Wednesday, the 21st of May, and it starts off showing him as a kid and showing his mom kind of disappearing. And it's funny. Yellow, you kind of see a little yellow blur. It's reverse flash. I'm like, ah, so they're throwing in a little flashpoint paradox here.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I definitely saw a little bit of flashpoint in there, but also just kind of that's the origin that they're going with the current incarnation of Barry Allen. So I think, I mean, that's basically, I think you're also kind of seeing it with the DC movies that are coming out. They're trying to get more and more of the new 52 versions of their characters in there. So that was the points I was seeing.
Yeah.
But they're giving him, they're really, looks like from the trailer, they're really working on giving him like an expanded cast too. So
yeah. Well, Arrow, the season finale. Did you see it?
I have not. I'm way behind on Arrow, so I have not.
So I'm gonna spoil it then, won't I?
I know that a bunch of costumes show up because I kept seeing that commercial. So
let's put it this way: any team up, crossover, whatever. Yeah, you. I think the only one missing was Huntress, but everyone else has been there. And it's like okay. And now to see what they're doing with Flash and then saying, you know, and then using the word metahumans. And of course you see Ferris Air. And it's like, how much longer before Green Lantern comes around?
Yeah. I mean, they seem to be doing it, laying the groundwork pretty well. And that they seem that with Arrow, that something like this can work. So let's just keep taking it as far as the audience wants to go with it.
And again, Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, it wrapped last week as well.
Which it got renewed for a second season as well, so that's good, right?
To the surprise of many.
Some people had it on the bubble. I know a lot of people I've read.
I enjoyed the season finale. It definitely ended the way it should have ended.
Okay.
You know, tempo-wise and everything else. The season, how they tied it in with Captain America, the Winter Soldier, perfect. It's what they should have done throughout the season. But I still say Arrow and now Flash, what Warner Brothers is doing with those two shows is what S.H.I.E.L.D. should be and what S.H.I.E.L.D. wanted to be. But then again, the Marvel movies is what DC wants theirs to be. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, one's got one and the other's got the other going pretty well. Yeah, I mean, you can't knock the Marvel guys because hey, they still got a spinoff. They got the Agent Carter series going, which is still going to be set, you know, in the 40s or in World War II. But
right.
But that'll be interesting. I think I would imagine that it's going to be sort of a pre-Shield, or you're going to see the foundation of Shield happening.
Think we are.
I don't know. Have you gotten around to seeing Captain America 2?
Not yet. We're going.
There is a scene. And it doesn't give anything away, but there's a scene in Captain America 2 where he finds like sort of a Shield hideout, old Shield location, and it has like kind of like the founding. What's basically going to be like the founding members of, you could say, okay, Shield, where it's got like Agent Carter, and it's got like Tony Stark's dad. And you know,
okay,
so it's gonna, you know, I can see that being a connection to this show.
So Marty, I was telling you about that special surprise that was here. How about Jake Lloyd from Jingle All the Way? That little lesser known film, Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace. I think we've heard it.
Yeah, how are you doing tonight? Jingle All the Way, though, that was the movie that touched my childhood, though. Let me tell you. Because mostly I just want to see Arnold running around like a crazy man trying to find a young boy, his favorite toy. Because I worked at the video store when that movie came out, actually, and we played it quite a bit. And so that was one of our favorites just because of hearing all of Arnold's lines.
Yeah. How you doing tonight, Jake?
I'm not doing too bad. How are you?
Good. I know, I play hockey, and I know the guy who did, the mural in your bedroom, that Captain America mural, is a very well-known, goalie mask artist.
Okay.
So, and he, one of his big claims was outside of the goalie world was doing, the Captain America mural in Jingle All the Way.
Oh, excellent. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That bedroom. I was about to say,
I was thinking my bedroom, and I was like, I don't have a Captain America bedroom, Captain America mural in my bedroom anymore. I did in the movie, but not.
Mike was, I was about to, ask how the restraining order was coming on Mike if he's peeping into your bedroom windows and asking all that, all the art that's on your wall now.
It's coming along fine. Thank you for asking.
So since we brought up Jingle All the Way, how did you get involved on that particular project?
It was a traditional casting call, and I got a I auditioned a couple of times, got a call back, and I'm a little vague on the memories at the moment as to how I got involved immediately, but I remember meeting Arnold for the first time, which was amazing because he's actually the reason I got into and started acting because of Terminator and Terminator 2.
So. Okay.
You got to watch those movies as a child?
Well, my mom didn't intentionally let me watch them, but I woke up during the middle of them at the drive-in, and she was trying to escape. It was during her young years as a mother. She thought she could get away with things like that, but she clearly couldn't. So I was running around after that going, I'm Schwarzenegger 2.
Yeah, I could see that being bad for your classmates. You're just trying to take them out, and
I was only like 2 years old. So.
Oh, that's true. I think, wow. Okay, you're even younger than I thought you might have been.
Well, in the movie I was seven, but I started wanting to act and begging my mother for it, I was like 2 years old.
Okay, now that was your first film, wasn't it?
No, my first film was Unhook the Stars.
Okay, that's right. And go ahead, Marty.
No, I was gonna say I actually don't know anything about that movie. What was that one?
Gina Rollins and Marissa Tomei and Gerard Depardieu, and it's a Nick Cassavetti film about just the struggles of this young mother, single mother, and the relationship between a young boy and her neighbor. Because she has this old, Jenna Rollins, this older woman, look after her child, every once in a while, and they grow close, and so it becomes more of a family tale between the three of them, and, you know, it's not like the mother doesn't have a really fucked up past anyway, so that plays a role in it too.
Okay.
That's cool. I was just saying, that's quite the cast there too that you get to work with for the first time out.
Yeah, it really was. It was quite the treat. It was amazing, actually, amazing fortune.
Now, you had a chance before you did Star Wars. You worked with Ewan on one other venue, and that was on TV with ER.
Yeah, I got a recurring role in ER. That was a lot of fun.
You were on in the early years of ER.
Was it 20 years that it was on? It felt like it was on
something
forever.
Like that. Hey, I watched it all. I watched it all. That was a show I enjoyed.
It scared me. Ending up on TV has always been like a scary idea to me.
Cause really?
It's the same reason why like I wasn't, like if people asked if I was excited, if I felt like I was missing out on doing episode 2 and 3 or 7 or anything like that, I'm like, no. I don't want to be tied down to one role for like ever, and then here I am 15 years later doing interviews about Star Wars.
Now, you think that's a deal of just the amount of time and energy you got to put into one character, or is that just I know a lot of actors have problems just watching themselves, and so that's a lot of commitment anyways to doing, you know, to being on the same project.
I actually think the responsibility lays with the writer and the director there, because if you have a character evolving over the course of like 7 years, you know, as most TV shows run, and you're tied into this contract, no matter what, you have to play this role unless you want to look like a very big jerk. And, I just don't want to look like a jerk when a team of writers turns a character into something that I don't like or have no say over. And since I was still young at the time and I hadn't done very much, it always scared me to end up on TV and have a character I didn't like and had no say over, you know, and that it was representing me bad or representing something I liked bad, or, you know, cause who's to say that they don't write him in as like a racist or something. Right. You're stuck.
And plus, like a TV, like
a contract, you are stuck as a racist.
Right, and like if you're a main character on a TV show, that's like what, you know, how much of a year is dedicated to doing that show versus say a movie that may be about 3 months of shooting. You can, and then you're done with it. You can go do the next thing.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, it's good. That is a good point. That definitely makes you a lot more picky in what character and which people you want to work with too.
It does, and it also makes you a lot more excited when you book projects like Unhook the Stars and your normal way.
Now, after Unhook the Stars, that led towards Jingle All the Way. And what was Jingle All the Way kind of what got you the exposure for Star Wars?
Actually, it almost did the opposite. It almost meant that I had too much exposure and George didn't want me for it. So
he does like to have the unknowns playing his main character.
Yeah, exactly. And he didn't like the fact that I had already been in a relatively large film.
Hmm. You know what it is that changes mine?
I have no idea.
So you shot episode one in what, 6 months, 3 months?
About six.
Okay. What was the experience like, just in general?
In general, it was a great experience. You know, it's Lucasfilm runs a tight ship. Everyone there is very respectful. Everyone there is very, very qualified at their jobs. And they have fun, but they also know how to treat each other with respect and professionalism, and it's fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah. Personally, they treated us great, and they treated us exceptionally well, considering, you know, that they didn't really have to.
Right. Now, was there any groups or any members of the cast that you hung out with more than the others, or you wanted to hang out more with?
You know, I hung out with everybody a fair amount when I could, but for the most part, I kind of stuck around my sister. You know, she was there with us while we were filming, and I'd hang out with her, and I'd hang out with people's kids, like Liam's kids and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, because how old were you at the time?
I was eight.
Eight, yeah. So you're when you're not working, you want to play. And when you're working, so you probably want to play.
That's like my age. And as much as I enjoyed talking to Liam and Ewan and Natalie and even and Ahmed especially, Ahmed's hilarious. I think that guy needs a little bit more credit. He's amazing. He's a human jukebox. He's really, really funny. But, you know, I'd hang out with them and stuff when we had time, but the sets are always so busy, and you never know when you're, as an actor on the set, you never really know when your scene's going to take place, even as tight as Lucasfilm runs their sets. And you pretty much could know that, you know, you had something going on about 15 minutes if it was on the call sheet for the day, but sometimes you just never knew. So you wanted to be prepared to be called at any time. And a lot of that was spent rehearsing, and a lot of my time was spent rehearsing with whoever I could get my hands on from this next scene.
Okay. Now, was there a scene that kind of hung you up a little bit that you kept reshooting and you just wished the scene would go away?
Not to my knowledge. They used to call me One Take Jake on the set.
Okay.
That's every editor and every director probably loves the guy nicknamed One Take Jake.
Yeah.
Because that is a lot less work that they have to go through.
Yeah, you know, because I did do a fair amount of, I asked a lot of questions, and George is very open to criticism and feedback, and he will answer your questions if you have them. And, you know, we go through that, and it made it really easy to just knock him out in one take almost every time.
Okay.
And he likes he likes the theatrical performance and almost kind of old school performance from his actors, but he still kind of enjoys a different sort of experience too. So
okay.
I appreciate that.
So you heard the infamous faster, more intense a lot then on set.
I'm sorry?
George's infamous line on set, faster, more intense.
I've heard that once or twice. But that wasn't his only line, that's for sure.
What was one of your favorite moments while filming episode one?
Probably just hanging out. The first day I was there, I got to shoot with Ahmed, so that was really, really, really nice, because both of us were like, what the hell are we doing here? Like... We're on the set of Star Wars. What are we doing here, man? And, you know, the first day we were there, and that was probably very unique. I remember they brought Shetland ponies for my sister's birthday. She had her birthday in England, and they let us ride them, and we got to ride them around Lucasfilm Studios for a little bit.
Wow. Oh, awesome. It
was incredible for a little girl's birthday. I am indelibly... tied to that sense of obligation to pay them back for that at some point.
Now, that, when you first got in, when did it really kind of sink in that, hey, you know, as an 8-year-old, you probably didn't have like the huge background of what Star Wars meant to like every nerd.
It's not
that
entirely
was on the,
true. I, no? I'd been watching Star Wars since before the re-release. Mm-hmm. You know, okay. They were my favorite movies when I was about 4 or 5. My mom was a big fan when she was younger, so she got them for us. I'd been watching them, and Darth Vader was my favorite character since the get-go, since like I said, 4 or 5. I'm still an original series Star Wars fan.
So you must have been ecstatic to know that you're playing Vader before he becomes Vader.
Exactly. Yes, I thought so. And my mom's surprise and shock and awe when she read the script the first time was like, oh my God, we're going home. Jake's actually in this entire movie. we can't have this. It's going to be ridiculous. Do you understand? This is going to be ridiculous. And I was not shared with me. Her shock and awe was not shared. Because I was like, it's Darth Vader, Ma. Come on.
Were you kind of, was there some small part of you that maybe thought that maybe you get to wear like a little mini, like cape and mask and everything like that and be, had some sort
actually,
of...
that's funny that you mentioned that. I would probably have thought that. Yes.
Yeah. It's like, it's gotta be, you know, it's just mini Vader. It's not really, he's not actually a kid. He's been like that all his life. It was a birth defect, right? Maybe that's what they should have done. And they just had like this little kid just like, inhaling through his breathing tube the whole time and trying to, you know, play with his...
The asthmatic Jedi.
Exactly.
Episode 1. Vader learns to breathe.
I get it again. Yeah. I think at least Family Guy needs to pick that idea up. That's what needs to win. That's gold right there, Jerry.
So the movie wraps, and then you're involved with all the various video games, doing the voiceover of Anakin.
Yeah.
What was that like? Going now, knowing that besides being bought on DVD at the time, people are going to play your character on game systems.
Dude, I'm a huge gamer. So like, I'm a huge, huge, huge gamer. I beat Sonic when I was like 2 years old. When I was two, it was a very eventful year for me, apparently. I beat Sonic then, and I've been playing video games ever since. I used to average 80 hours every 2 weeks and hold a steady editing job.
Wow.
It's a little bit easier when you're on set, I guess, when you're a kid too, and you got all this downtime. Like, I'm gonna play some video games.
Well, actually, I'd never played games on the set. I'd always, usually, for Star Wars in particular, I'd watch the originals, and they had those for us in the room. And there's so much to see, so much to do. Like, you just kind of like, if you have an hour to kill and you know you don't have to react, you grab a PA and you go, all right, we're going to be back in an hour. And then you just roam the Star Wars sets for a while. Like, you go around and you're like, oh, this is awesome. Check this out. When are we filming this? Oh, that'll be cool.
That would be cool. I mean, that's like every, you know, I remember when I was a kid going like to Disney World, and like, you know, they didn't really even, they were just starting in to do the tie-ins with the Star Wars stuff. I think they had just opened like the Star Tours thing. And so they had a few like set pieces from Star Wars. And I thought that was the coolest thing. Like, oh, there's the skiff from the opening of, you know, Return of the Jedi right there. I was like, oh, you know, it's just, and all it does, it's not even like set up. It's like laying partially on its side, just kind of like laying next to like a replica of the Love Bug from Herbie the Love Bug and stuff. So it was like, it had no real awe or presence to it, but to me it was like, that was the coolest thing. So to have like an entire production set of things that were about to be even become lore, that would drive every kid crazy right there with their imagination.
I agree, and I know it drove me a little batty, because I used to hassle the guys doing CGI all the time, like, what is this going to end up looking like? What is this going to end up looking like? And I'd just be like, go away. We have work to do. We're supposed to show George this in like 5 minutes after you take it.
How quickly were they able to turn around the CG at that time?
Not very quickly. It was post-production lasted about 2 years. So
I don't know if you ever saw any of the like behind the scenes stuff for Avatar, but that was what blew me away with that, was with while they were filming, it was pretty much kind of almost motion capturing the CGI for the actual movie that was being used. And so that would like blew my mind to think that, you know, only in like 10 years time, where it goes from, you know, when you worked on Star Wars to it taking 2 years to like pretty much being done in the same day.
Yeah, which is nice, and a lot of that has to do with the program they used for War of the Worlds. It doesn't shock or awe me. Avatar doesn't do that shock and awe for me in their turnaround, because editors have been editing films that they've been shot forever. Right. You know? So,
right.
Like, their turnaround, even if it's 3 months later or 2 years, I'm just impressed the film gets made after being on a set. Like, it's just, after seeing all the things that go wrong, we had the first time it had rained in, like, some ridiculous amount of time in the Sahara, and it ruined all the sets. And they had to rebuild all the sets, and they rebuilt them in 2 days, and we got back to filming.
Wow. That's that would definitely, the one time it ever rains in the desert would have to be when you're trying to shoot a movie in the desert.
Yeah. Rick McCallum was like, and it's my project.
Now, after doing Star Wars, how did your private life change?
Not very much. We just, I did Madison afterwards, and, that was the last movie I did. I did several commercials in between, and I did Madison, and, I've done like 80 commercials, which is ridiculous, in the span of 5 years.
Wow.
And anyways, after that, we moved to Indiana, which is where I live currently.
Well, very cool. Now,
as for private life changing, my mother did a very good job to keep it from changing too much. And she was very capable in that manner, and I owe her quite a great deal of sanity for it.
Well,
that's going to be a huge transition for any child actor to go from, you know, kind of like, here's a spotlight to kind of almost cutting it off. Did you have any kind of lasting effects where you were just like,
it's not so much that I ever sought the spotlight. Like, that was always been my least favorite part of film. And actually the reason why I would never go back to being an actor. I like voice acting now, but it's not very spotlight driven, you know. You can get away with doing video games and TV shows and cartoons and stuff day in, day out, and no one will recognize you on the street. You know, that's nice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you said you're a big, big gaming fan. Is there like a gaming series that to get
not
on?
Get that.
No?
It'll be nerd time. And
that's why we call ourselves We Be Geeks, man. We're all about some nerd time.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, what are you playing right now?
Right now we streamed Dark Souls 2 on Twitch.
Oh, jeez, that game is so hard too.
It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Dark Souls. It's pretty well balanced. I like some of the realism changes they made for it, and obviously I still don't feel like Dark Souls has that much of a story, but you can look up the lore on YouTube and stuff, and it's pretty intense and cool. But
how many times have you thrown the controller in anger?
If you have to look up on YouTube and it's not in like a codex or something, that it's not part of the game.
How many times have you thrown the controller in anger for that game?
Only once. I've dropped it many times.
just gotta walk away. Gotta walk away,
man. Yeah, I've dropped it. And like Paul, who I play with, he's just like, oh, I heard the click. And I'm like, it's not a click. It's more of like a thimp. you know, when it hits the table, it's like thimp. And he's like, God. Did you die?
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah. is that a franchise that that you would like to see?
No, because I've experienced that game in two different ways. One is co-op, and one is single player. And when you play single player, you just hate yourself so much. Mm-hmm. And I'd hate to have like someone else's voice in on that, you know, and someone sitting there going, "I'm awesome," blah 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 blah, or "ow," or "let's jump," or stuff, or something ridiculous like that, and also have to listen to that and being like, "I am the worst gamer ever. I can't get past this guy, and I've tried for 3 hours." Mm. You know, whereas in co-op, it would just be goofy. And I like their gesture system and stuff and how it's all very quiet and nonchalant. And their background music, their score is great. Yeah. You know, it's really, really well done. And I can't imagine them throwing voices into it as well. I got to do a dream job already, which was work on Dragon Ball Z Kai. I got to do a couple of background character voices, which was awesome. And it was fun. So
yeah. How big is the script when you get? Well, I guess if you're doing background, it may not be that big. But like, I've always heard people like saying that the scripts for video games is like so much more massive because of all the different scenarios they got to plot for. Did you have to deal with that?
Yes. And unfortunately, the director doesn't always know what the hell's going on. you know, it's he. you get a script that's so thick, and the director will probably know, okay, we've got all these things that can happen, and a lot of time I'd be like, so what exactly is happening in this situation? And, you know, Dara, bless his heart, he's like one of the best directors I ever worked with. He'd be like, well, it says this, this, and this. And I'd be like, well, what does that mean? And he'd be like, well, it means that, just try doing it like this and we'll see where it goes from there.
Now, if anyone came to you now and asked you to get into like cartoon work or animated film work, you would consider pursuing that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. I would definitely consider that. I think that'd be a really, 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 really good time.
So we'll start that campaign now of getting Jake Lloyd into cartoons. So, we were talking a little bit before show. You're, as you said, you're in Indiana now. You're involved with a film festival this weekend?
Yeah, I get to MC, some family friendly films on Friday.
Awesome.
Say that three times fast.
I get to MC some family friendly films on Friday. I get to MC some family friendly films on Friday. I get to MC some family friendly films on Friday.
He can do it! that's some acting school, tricks right there. I can't remember the one was like with the lemon and the lion or something. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's just to get your mouth to open and close to a maximum radius.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I'm an audio engineer. I don't have to mess with that.
So tell us about the festival. Where's it taking place at this weekend?
Evansville, which is in Southwest Indiana, not Southwest entirely, but it's kind of Southwest Indiana. You can check it out. It's May Day Film Festival. It's I'll post all over my fan page and on Facebook. We always love to have people show up because I'm excited because the first film I get to MC is a very Christian film, and I haven't watched it yet, but the cover of it is two dudes battling each other with faux lightsabers, and they go back in time to get the autographs of the people who wrote the Bible.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly what I'm going to have to say about this other than, dude, come on.
Now, when you say MC, does that mean you're like introducing it or you're like talking about it, like your reaction afterwards? Or how,
yeah, I get to do both.
Really? And they're totally fine with you having never seen it before to like...
No, I'll have seen them by then. Still got a couple of days.
Okay, I did.
That's tonight and tomorrow. I'm gonna watch. There's only 4 hours of the festival. It starts at 6 on Friday, ends at 10, and there's only like 4 or 5 films that I've got to do that with. So
okay. Now you're also doing a couple panels.
Yeah, too, I do a couple panels on the next day, Saturday the 24th, and it'll hopefully be more geared towards filmmaking because that's more fun. but. A lot of it will, cause I've been doing interviews with, filmmakers and stuff on my Twitch channel every weekend. I've been interviewing filmmakers and discussing with them, like, their problems that they have getting their films done, trying to play Mr. Fix-It with them.
Okay.
Cause, as I've been working as a freelance editor for about 7 years now, and I've seen a lot, and I've got the experience from beforehand, and I've seen a lot of things that could help. And, I like carrying out people's ideas and also seeing if we can make them work better. So.
Very cool.
So it's almost like a consulting, I mean, almost an editor. He is kind of a consultant with the director where you two have the final say on how the movie is looking.
Exactly. So it is a very good perspective to share with other people, especially when you do get a lot of directors who come in and are like, dude, this producer, I have no idea what he's doing. Why is he doing this?
Yeah. How have you found like doing some editing?
Wonderful.
When you first got into it, did you think it was going to be easier or just kind of something that sounded interesting to you?
Well, I taught myself when I was 14. I taught myself the various systems. I know Avid and Final Cut and Adobe, iMovie, and all the other really crappy programs that I don't like talking about. And, you know, I can teach non-linear editing is my friend. I like it. It makes me happy.
Yeah, right.
Very cool. Yeah,
makes me very, very happy.
I'm probably recording the show on one of those programs that you probably consider crappy.
That's fine. If it works, man. The problem is, the only reason I consider it crappy is because it's not because it can't get a job done. It's just because I can't see myself wanting to use it.
Gotcha. Yeah,
there's a difference between audio and video editing software.
Well, I'm sure.
Well,
what are you using?
I'm using Vegas Video.
Oh,
from
awesome.
Sony Creative Media. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's great. It's a great multi-tracking, audio software, but it's a pretty, me being an amateur YouTube video guy, it's a powerful enough program.
No, it's not bad. It's not terrible at all. That sounds pretty awesome, man.
Yeah.
And you sound like a beast coming through that mic, by the way, I might add.
Sexy,
microphone. Sexy beast.
you must be looking at the wrong video then.
I'm not looking at the video. I'm over here in the corner doing something else entirely, just listening and talking to you.
trust me, I look like the Rancor Keeper.
Which was a sexy beast.
You got the beast part right.
As far as the leather daddy thing goes, got it going on, man.
He does enjoy wearing a nice loincloth, so I will.
There's some similarities
here.
That was supposed to be a secret. That's why they call me an ogre.
When you're doing some of the consulting with some of the guys, are you doing that all on camera for Twitch, to where that's like the first time you're kind of melting minds and coming up with the ideas, or just
I like to talk to them beforehand and get a sense. I'll always like look over their projects or whatever they want. Some people want me to collaborate with them. Some people just want to do an interview. Some people want me to. I talked about set teaching the other day with someone, stuff like that. We talk about whatever we can. And if it's interesting, then I'll put it on Twitch. I don't record while we're just having a conversation, but if it's interesting, I'll have them come back on Twitch and we'll talk about some deeper stuff and other aspects of it. And normally I don't use it as a platform to sell myself to another person so much as like, try to sell their project. Cause like I said, I live in Indiana. It's hard to network in Indiana for film. There's a few production companies, a couple of film festivals, and that's about it. So, you just kind of have to do corporate videos like me, and that's a small market even, and it's just, I'm ready to move.
What aspect is it that you're really enjoying these days? Because it sounds like you kind of have a little interest in all different aspects of filmmaking. What's really the one that's attracting you the most right now?
Right now, oddly enough, it's writing.
Nice.
Just to throw something else out there.
Right.
I've been writing a semi-autobiographical philosophy book.
Wow, that actually sounds really hard.
Yeah, last night I discussed the nature of time as per the existence of someone on an LA freeway.
Is that rush hour or pre-rush hour?
It doesn't matter, because either way you can go left, right, forward, back, stop, go. It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that you can know infinite from knowing the fact that you have all these choices at any given moment. And if you can choose a moment like you do your perception of your own memory, then you can access the concept of infinite, thus knowing infinity.
Okay. All right. Now, do you get called to guest at a lot of conventions?
Yeah, I do. I used to do a lot more than I do now, but I stopped doing them for the most part. So
okay.
As again, just a question I always had: Does it get old? Because I see, like, I saw Billy Dee Williams just last fall. He came to a show that I was at, and you know, of course, Billy's getting older, but and I don't think he does a whole lot of shows. But it makes you wonder, like, how many times can you be asked the same question, or like, well, Stan Lee, how many times can you ask the same question and it not just get like monotonous for you to have to answer? Does that ever come into play for you?
Well, for instance, you guys didn't know where I lived.
We've seen your room. We know what murals are on your wall.
Oh,
so we've done a research.
You also know who my dad is, right? Arnie?
Yeah. I'm scared of him.
My real name is Jamie.
We know all about your dogs and your cats and your and
my
your,
reindeer.
That's right, exactly.
Drinking beer.
Dude, his father is Turbo Man.
That's right.
Exactly. What do I need the doll for when I've got the real thing?
Does that freak you out? Like when you're at a show and somebody just knows all this information off the top of their head that just comes at you?
An interview?
Yeah. Interviews, you can almost expect it because somebody's going to try to find that research of like, oh, we should ask him this, and then see what he says. But like if you're at a show and somebody comes up and is like, hey, I hear you really like Fruit Loops or something like that. Here's 20 boxes. Does that ever kind of just get to be a little bit weird in a scenario like that?
I don't post that stuff on the internet. I don't talk about it really.
Right.
You know, I try to avoid personal things getting out because I like having a private life. You know, I don't really talk about things that I do that make me personally happy, like the fact that I eat string cheese and hummus for almost every meal. you know, stuff like that. Like, I don't want to, I'm just joking, by the way, that is not something I do. I don't eat string cheese and hummus for every meal.
So cancel that order.
Yeah, so relax. I'm just kidding, because I think that'd be great. I do have it on occasion. I've had it before, at least. But I don't have it for every meal.
But even like answering all the questions of, you know, how is it doing on Star Wars? Has it gotten to the point where it's like, okay, I'm ready to do something else? Or has it gotten to the point now where you don't mind, you know, like you're not tired of it. You're just happy to like, yeah, it was a great time and I'm happy to talk about it again.
You go through different phases because I mean, I was also been doing this since, you know, I've been answering the same questions since I was like 10, mm-hmm. and you learn to evolve your concept of people with it. Yeah, you may think you're getting the same words out of someone's mouth, but your appreciation for the individual grows.
Right. Does it help anyway as time passes, or do you think it's you know you're kind of ready for to be known as something else or anything?
You know, I don't know what I'm going to end up being known as. You know, yeah. Jake Conqueror. whatever. I don't know what I'm going to end up being known as. I'm just happy to have been able to play a role that affected people and made a lot of kids happy.
Right. What was that like that first time Disney called you for Star Wars weekends?
it was very strange. I was like, I don't know if I want to do this, but it's a free trip to Disney World. we had a really good time with that. Their Star Wars weekends, I did that for about 4 or 5 years and it's always a really good time. And we had no trouble saying yes to them because they made, you know, they were like, we just want Jake to come. We have a very safe environment. People always look forward to coming to these things, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it's Disney. Why wouldn't you trust Disney?
Right.
I'm glad we treat you well. That's where I work. I'm over at Epcot, though.
You know, our best family friends would be the Bonacors. I don't know if you heard that, if you know them. They used to manage the boardwalk.
Okay.
He used to be the manager of the boardwalk.
They were probably, I know, if they weren't involved with their entertainment, I probably don't know.
Francesca is also a tour guide, is one of the okay. tour guides.
Yeah. Entertainment, we're kind of sheltered.
You guys are probably, you know, special passes you probably see in the underground that the rumors, like, you know, people like me get to create, like, what's going on in the underground city of Disney. Did you get to see any of that?
The underground city of Disney.
Yeah.
What is that place called? The city that they, you know what I'm talking about.
Celebration.
Yeah, Celebration. I've seen Celebration, but I wasn't allowed inside.
Why weren't you allowed inside?
It's a gated community. We didn't know how to get in.
actually, Disney sold it off a while back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's how long it's been since I've been to Celebration.
But, now, Marty, are you talking about the Utilidors over at Magic Kingdom, the tunnels?
I just heard, you know, it's the urban legend of, like, this entire working city that's, like, underneath of Disney for all the costumes and the people that are in characters and stuff like that they can travel around and underneath to not be on the park.
That's Magic Kingdom.
That's Magic Kingdom?
That's the tunnels at Magic Kingdom, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and like a city under the city kind of deal.
It's nothing exciting.
Oh, you're crushing
sorry to disappoint.
Here,
it's nothing exciting.
Yeah, I had it all built up like it was this magical, like Oz kind of place where, you know, everything was colorful and bright, and it was still like 1940, and you know, you know, you got a frozen, you know, Walt Disney here.
Everyone rubs the Walt as they walk by.
Exactly. For good luck. You know, he's just like huge. The frozen head's still over in the corner waiting to be cryogenically reattached to something, you know. I got this whole scenario plotted out. And Disney's not interested in my story, but maybe somebody will listen to me.
Hey, try Marvel with the Disney Kingdom song.
That's right. There you go. Was it Seekers of the Weird?
Oh, there which we go. Was based on the fourth exhibit that was supposed to be at the 64 World's Fair that never happened.
Ah, yeah. Sweet.
So, what future projects do you have coming up?
I've got the book I'm writing, a documentary about Tibetan refugees that should be done sometime next year. Both of those should be done sometime next year. We're working on both of those at the same time, and I've got this festival this weekend. I've got twitch.tv/tomatojake every weekend.
Okay.
Where you can tune in. You can watch us game from 3 p.m. to whenever, but we usually do interviews on the stream at night. I would have asked to stream this, but I'm not at home right now, so I can't.
I'm kind of interested in the Tibetan documentary you're working on. Tell us more about that.
Well, trip over to Dharamsala and to Tibet, not Tibet, but India, and he interviews a whole bunch of refugees, and people who have escaped Tibet and persecution that's going on there and have tried to come and be one and be with the Dalai Lama and try to escape China. So
what part are you having with the movie? Are you?
I'm an editor. I'm just the editor.
Okay.
Which there's 130 hours of footage, so I
have I was gonna say, like, actually editing a documentary is probably much harder than editing a piece of fiction, just because of the amount of footage, and you kind of are in charge of finding that story through line from all that hours of footage too.
Yeah, which has been a lot of fun with the director because he's got a lot of great ideas. It's just he knows his footage really well, which is great.
I hope
Holton, he's awesome. Josh Holton, he's got a lot of great ideas for his project. It's just I've seen all the footage and I've seen it on a timeline and I know that some of his ideas don't work. And so it's hard to tell him, you know, come on, man. Well, can we kind of stick to this one as opposed to that one? Or, you know, it's hard to tell your director as an editor that, you know, you don't have a script, man. This is documentary.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Do you think there's you know, with the kind of prevalence of reality TV, do you think sometimes that falls into some documentary filmmakers where they think they've got to have like that scandal or that through line story?
Well,
do you think
documentary with this director?
Do what?
It certainly didn't happen to this director.
Okay. It's good to see because, you know, that's one, unless you go to film festivals, it's hard to find some documentaries to watch sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I didn't, like, I haven't been able to go to a film festival in a while, so I didn't know how the quality of some of the documentaries that are coming out in the recent years, if any of that reality TV kind of bled over into documentary filmmaking. Because it seemed like Michael Moore took a lot of criticism for kind of almost doing that and, like, almost getting his own personal agenda in documentaries.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, what maybe your thoughts might have been on how.
Well, it's literally this guy, the director, filming interviews with questions he has from his trip over to India. It's biased as nothing else because it's just him asking the questions that he has prepared. However, right. At the same time, it's as unbiased as the news because it's just the questions he has prepared for someone that he's interviewing. And it's not that it's not emotionally gripping like a lot of reality TV can be when it comes to getting involved with the character's emotional strife or an individual's emotional strife. There is a lot of that because you have people in India who will just beg him to take the footage back and show it to someone so that they can have their story told. But at no point is it prompted. It's so much as it's just, this is what they actually need done.
Right.
No, they actually need someone to hear their story because their homeland is, they're not homeland, their cultural center is being taken over and destroyed step by step.
Wow. Yeah. You know, it can definitely result in some powerful documentary then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I wish you the best of luck. How far in are you on the process?
Well, I had a rough cut, but some jerk decided to get on my computer and give me a virus and stuff. Mess with stuff. And because that's the sort of thing I get to deal with these days, is because I do a lot more internet stuff. I have people who will actually seek me out and, like, mess with my computer from afar, which is delightful.
Have you had many occasions of that?
I've had this guy, I've had some people hassle me on Facebook, stuff like that, but it's nothing like, it's not a big deal, it's nothing I can't handle and fix myself, it's just annoying, you know, and when someone's life and their efforts are, dwindled down to being one man's nuisance, I think that's enough of a, c'est la vie for that person.
Well, I think I know where that Mike Emke cat lives, so I'll take care of him for you.
Cheers, thanks, because, you know, he dresses up like the gatekeeper for the Rancor, and it really freaks me out. And he comes over, and he stares at the murals on my walls, and he asks me about my toys, and it's really creepy, because he shouldn't know about my toys.
He's just really thorough and really a big fan. Don't mind that missing toothbrush either. You'll find another.
Awesome.
So it was a pleasure having you on the show. Hopefully you'll come back again.
Definitely, it was a blast.
And,
it's nice to see that you have so many different interests too. Like I'm actually excited for you to see, you know, what you're really gonna be, you know, because right now it sounds like you're almost kind of still feeling out what it is that you really want to do. And there's so many great projects to work on that I think you're gonna find one that's really gonna be your passion play here soon.
It's what not to do that's a shorter list.
Yeah. And isn't that a great? It's almost like isn't that a great? It's now is like a great time to produce content like that or to just produce of any sort because the ability to do so is so much easier than it was years ago.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
So, just one more time, where can they find you on the internet?
On the internet, they can find me a few places, but I'd prefer they find me just two. The first one would be facebook.com/Jake Lloyd. It's usually the first thing that pops up when you Google my name, I hope, as opposed to bad interviews. and the other place is Twitch on the weekends, not this weekend, of course, but next, twitch.tv/tomatojake. I think we'll be changing the channel name and the URL link, but that can all be found on the other page. But we do have a regular show going, and we do have interviews every weekend. We'll be having independent filmmakers from this film festival joining us on the show in the weeks coming. And I've got some other content, surprise content, lined up.
Awesome.
Not going to tease any of it?
Nope.
That's for my own show, fool. Cool. So,
well, thank you guys. This was great. And you asked some really great questions. It was a really, really good time. And you jogged my memory quite a bit. And it was very nice and respectfully done. So thank you.
No problem.
And we'll make sure to get that restraining order in on Mike so that you can sleep.
Oh, thank God.
Well, time.
Hey, I'm sitting right here.
sorry, Mike.
No, that's why we like to keep you at least 900 feet away.
We got that covered with us.
I think it's okay to talk about this. Remember, Michael? Remember?
Naughty. All right. Why he didn't want to do the video the whole time, because it'll violate the court case if he puts on a video. See what you do to the show, Mike.
Personal communication after the restraining order.
So,
but it was your first time getting my autograph, wasn't it?
Maybe.
He does have it framed already, so, you know.
Nice.
Well, again, we thank you for coming on. So definitely follow Jake on Facebook and check out his Twitch channel, Tomato Jake.
Yep, it'll change, but you know,
until then,
what we got for now. We're winging it, man. We're just trying it out. We have a good time. We both of them are 18 years and older. by the way.
Yeah.
So as you know, because I don't think the internet is a place for kids, and I don't want to be responsible for them when they are on it.
Yeah, but if you ever play Xbox Live and like Call of Duty or anything like that with said kids, they probably curse worse than we do. So
I know, and I don't want to hear them on my stream doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So.
So, Marty, you have anything else?
No, I just appreciate Jay coming on, and yes, that's all I can think of.
Right,
so,
cool.
Until next time, we'll see y'all next week.
Give the evacuation code signal.
I will bring you back a snowball.
All right, cut the chatter.
This ship will self-destruct in 20 seconds. This is your last chance to push the cancellation button.
It's over, Prime. Adventure. Excitement.
Why, oh, why didn't I take the blue pill?
I wouldn't trust this overgrown pile of microchips any further than I could throw it.
Hold it. Hold it. I said hold it.
By the way, why are we wearing bras on our heads?
Ceremonial.
Clark, I don't like the look of this neighborhood.
Come on, Ellen. It's important for the kids to witness the plight of the rebellion. Kids, you noticing all this plight? Roll them up.
We be geeks, your voice of the geek revolution.
This has been a We Be Geeks production.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Check out the pop culture podcast that everyone is talking about. Follow the show on Twitter at Well Watchers. Listen to the show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and thewellwatchers.com.
Introducing Rebel Force Radio,
your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary
with Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
Rebel Force Radio.
You are on the front lines of fandom by listening to this show.
Jimmy Mack and Jason Swank usher in a new era of Star Wars podcasting.
Rebel Force Radio.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Stay tuned for special announcements about the Rebel Force Radio official webpage.
Leaving no Star Wars fan behind.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Welcome to the new sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next.
Hot dog!
Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness!
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that. It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Pardon the interruption. I have some news which I believe you will find most interesting.
Would you like to hear the latest in Marvel television, film, and comic book news? Are you looking for some suggestions on what to pick up on New Comic Book Day? Well, join Mike and Ken every Saturday night at 8 p.m. on Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio, your source for all things Marvel.
There is a matter that requires your attention.
Mighty Marvel Geeks, assemble!
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?